Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If the 49ers had to play this entire season without Debo, you think they could still go to the Super Bowl?
And Ayuk's there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's there. Debo's not.
I think they could. I think they could.
Do you think
they could? It's tough though, because to me, Debo's a game changer.
Everyone's there, except George Kittle. Do you think they could go to the Super Bowl?
It's right. Right now, sight unseen for some of these young guys, I'd say no to both of those guys.
Okay,
Debo and Kittle. And the only reason I'm not sitting on the fence, but I know that their time is coming to an end, and right. I don't believe that when their time comes to an end, they're just never going to be a Super Bowl contender. Because this is the conversation I had earlier. The hub of it all to me is Kyle, John, and Brock. That is, you have that foundation and you can figure out the pieces around that. So when Kittle, Debo are gone, and even McCaffrey to a certain degree, like he's got a little more time around. But when they're gone, I still think the Niners can be a top tier team because those guys make it go. Now, the reason why I say sight unseen is, like, I think Purcell is good, you know, pretty rookie. I think he's a good football player, but I've never seen him. He's coming from college. I don't want to disrespect Debo or Brandon Ayuk and be like, oh, yeah, you just slide him in and he'll be good. I don't know what the replacement is going to be at the tight end spot and what that's going to look like when Kittle is around. So based on that, I'm going to say no because I don't know what they're replacing it with. So I'll just to make it easy, I say no, you can't make it without Debo or without Kittle all year long.
What about Brandon Ayuk?
I think you could, and those other two are there, I think you could.
I think you're wrong.
I think you could.
Brandon Ayuk with 75 catches, 1,300 yards.
I feel so, like, off in this, like, conversation. If I lost Debo or Kittle but had Brandon Ayuk, I'd be more comfortable as a 49er fan. Or as a 49er.
Well, but once again, that's like,
and that's not to minimize what Kittle does. I'm thinking along kind of what you just explained. You know, you're nearing the end.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of at the point where Kittle's not. I don't think Kittle is that. Like what George Kittle's name is. I don't think he's that player anymore. And that's not like that's the game. That's the NFL. Like that's how it works. Yeah. He has busted his ass for a lot of years to establish the name that he has, and I think you know, we're maybe seeing a little bit of fall off, maybe a little shift in the offense. The one guy they can't live without, to me, is Christian McCaffrey. Mm. You cannot live without Christian McCaffrey, in my estimation. Mm-hmm. And I think we might have learned last year, you can't live without Trent Williams, but we don't need to talk about that part. I'd rather have Brandon Ayuk on this team.
So here, the thing about it, though, is, once again, you're talking about he's 1,300 yards. You're replacing that with nothing, right? If I took...
Not necessarily. You could throw Juwan Jennings or Ricky Parrish or whoever in that spot. They're not doing that.
Maybe not.
They're definitely not.
Maybe not. We don't know about Parrish. We don't know about that. Nobody would have said Puka would have been who he was when he came into the league, right? We don't know. I don't think Pershaw would either.
Puka's an outlier, though.
True. I'm not disputing that at all. But also, the person that's coming in, I don't know if he necessarily has to get 1,300. If he gets 8, George Kittle gets more targets than he did last year. Deebo Samuels gets more targets than he did last year. Juwan Jennings gets more targets. You may spread that around a little bit more. I just look at Brandon Ayuk, and I think he's a really good wide receiver, but I think he's replaceable. Like, let's talk about all those people that he's surrounded by. What does he do better than any of them? I'm just being real. This is what I'm talking about. We have to have hard conversations. Waddle, St. Brown, Devonta Smith. What does he do better than those guys?
I think he's as good as them, but I think Jalen Waddle can be like a number one receiver on another team too. I saw in the chat that he's number two. Like, I think they're number one receivers.
Why does he have to be better than them?
Because he wants more money than them.
Well, again, that's dumb. that's where he's at. Like, he's in that tier of wide receivers that is separate from Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and those guys. Mm-hmm. That's the disconnect in all of this. And that's where TC needs to get involved and say, brother, you're not being real with yourself right now.
I was going to say, if the Waddle deal is out there for him, I think he should take that. But also, I'm also like pro player in the sense where if like Washington or you know out there, 30 million is out there, I'm also pro, like do whatever you can to get that too, though.
Yeah, I hear you. And I'm all for that too. It's just like, I think these guys watch the NBA too much. Because that does not happen in the NFL.
I'll just throw like, this is all like prorated and all this other stuff. But in 2019, with a guy that other receivers have come out said they're scared to death to play with, in Jimmy Garoppolo, you had Emmanuel Sanders in 10 games.
I'm gonna get killed out there.
You had Emmanuel Sanders in 10 games go for 500 yards. So you prorate that to 18 games or something like that. We're looking at not a 1,000-yard season, but 900. Emmanuel Sanders. The hub, the guy is Kyle Shanahan. That's why I feel so confident about all of this.
Brandon Ayuk is a system wide receiver. Just say it, bro.
He's better than that. He's better than that. But it's, what do we always say about Kyle?
Like
that.
Outside of Trent Williams, is there a single player on the 40? Is there a single player on the 49ers that's not a system player?
McCaffrey, I guess. Okay.
Well, but wait a minute. But wait a minute, though. You're right. Mm-hmm. But what was everyone saying before that trade happened?
Well,
who's the perfect guy for Kyle Shanahan?
Christian McCaffrey. I think Christian and Deebo fall in that category. Those are guys that you cannot replicate.
I agree about Christian McCaffrey, by the way. I just think it's a match made in heaven with him and Kyle.
Yeah. For sure. McCaffrey and Deebo are the guys you can't replicate. They're the guys you cannot replicate. Brandon Ayuk, and once again, we're saying that
Deebo's not a guy you can replicate now, or wasn't a guy you could replicate 2 years ago.
Both. Okay. Deebo almost had 1,000 yards this year.
Okay.
To go along with the rushing and all this other stuff and the gravity. The thing about it with losing Brandon Ayuk, if you didn't have him there. Once again, that's assuming you're getting 0% from his replacement. You think Kyle Shanahan could get, if Brandon Ayuk held out the whole year, whoever he put there, you think he could get 70-80%?
But is it Kyle or is it Purdy?
A little bit of both. I think Purdy is that good of a quarterback where he's
and
good
that's
enough.
And so that's probably the one thing we should have gone to 30 minutes ago. If you're the front office and you believe that much in your quarterback, then Debo or Brandon Ayuk, it don't matter. Because my quarterback is going to make a star out of his wide receiver, because he's going to get the ball in the right places. We'll get Emmanuel Sanders 85 catches or whatever reference you used a second ago.
Right. And I almost feel like that's how they kind of look at it, right? Like, it's like, hey, man, it don't really matter who it is. We'll figure out a way to get this done.
It traces back to a question I've asked forever. Jerry Weiss, there's no argument, and he'll fight you over this, apparently.
Oh, man, that was crazy.
Jerry Rice is the greatest wide receiver in history. Uh-huh. You'll argue he's the greatest football player in history. That's fine. Is it a coincidence that he played with two guys who are in the conversations of the best quarterbacks of all time? Is it what's the cause and what's the effect when it comes to the wide receiver? Did Jerry make Joe and Steve? Did Joe and Steve make Jerry? And it's I don't know how you answer that question.
Chicken or the egg situation. It really is. I also look at, though, in this particular situation, I know the players play. The players absolutely play. I give them all the respect. Kyle is the one. Kyle has been getting people open his entire career. Like that, it don't matter who you have with him. Like I said, he was getting Emmanuel Sanders open. He was getting what's my boy's name?
What team?
With the 49ers, the track star. Marquise Goodwin.
Oh yeah.
He was getting Marquise Goodwin open. He was getting, who's the guy he brought from Washington? Anybody remember when he first got over here and that was the wide receiver? Saint something. Pierre Garçon. He's getting Pierre Garçon open. He was getting Roddy White open.
Like, that's dope that you referenced Pierre Garçon from Washington, because I never would have done that.
he was getting him open. I think he was a great player regardless, but it wasn't wide receiver in Brooklyn, the Browns, who could have been the greatest ever.
Josh Gordon,
wasn't that under Kyle Shanahan? I think that was under Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Not sure.
I don't remember.
I'm going to give credit to Josh Gordon's legend there, because I was one of those kids. Yep, could have been the greatest ever.
Oh, I'm one of them people too. Like he was different.
He's been getting people open his entire career. I got confidence that he'll get them open.
Okay. Would you give him trade Ayuk then for a first round pick if Washington comes to you like, hey, we'll give you a first round pick, whatever other picks? Oh.
I'd do that in a second. If Washington wanted Brandon Ayuk for a first round pick, I'd do that in a second.
Then New England too, because those are the teams.
Absolutely.
That are out there. What about Pittsburgh?
For a first round pick?
Yeah.
Anybody. Anything. It could be Kansas City playing in the Super Bowl. I would trade Brandon Ayuk for a first round pick.
This is before the season 2, I'm talking.
I'd do it today. I'd call it in right now if they'd let me. Yeah, there is zero question I trade Brandon Ayuk for a first round pick.
I'm only thinking because I'm not of the belief you trade him right now. Like, you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year.
I think I hear you. Yeah, but if it's for a first round pick, no, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
And I'm kind of going off of like,
I do that in
not
a second.
So literally, but just the whole Shanahan.
Then go sign Josh Gordon.
Throw someone else in there or whatever. Like Ricky Parasol, whatever.
Give me Josh Gordon, Pierre Garçon, and Marquise Goodwin. Sign them all for $7.
And like I said, I think Brandon Ayuk is a hell of a receiver. I think he's like, I think he's really,
he's very
really
good.
I think he's like, don't
he's a
dismiss
top,
what I say.
He might he's be really, top five. Really he's a top eight for sure receiver in the league.
His best quality to me is his route running and his feel for the game. And he's got great hands too. And he's tough as nails. Like he'll catch one over the middle or whatever the case may be. So he's got a ton of great qualities or whatever the case may be. But I do believe that McCaffrey and Debo, I don't think you can replace those guys as easily.
I agree about McCaffrey. I agree. I agree to a certain degree about Debo. I think Christian McCaffrey's in a category by himself. Like, he is the hub.
I mean,
of the
system. What did James Harden say? I'm not part of a system. I am the system. That's more what McCaffrey is.
that's a shoot. Yeah.
Well. Look, I'll say this, and I don't necessarily believe it, but people talk about when somebody's gone. Debo was the one gone. Those games in the middle of the season, Brandon Ayuk was there, and that offense struggled.
Help me. Okay. Fair.
He was the one that was gone.
I remember making this point, but my timeline could be off. So tell me I'm wrong. Aren't those the.
Trent are those. Too.
Okay. That.
Tell the whole story. I wish you tell the whole
Thank story. You. Thank you.
that was Lawrence Fishburne.
That was Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah. Yeah. Thank God that series came to a merciful
end. I'm not going to lie. I was like, this sucks in episode two.
It was just like, let's just get through this.
I was done with that one, man. It was okay.
And the big ending is the walk-off with Austin. Get the hell out of here.
I think I've come to the conclusion. You're going to do these shows. Do it like Winning Time. Like, parry it up a little bit. Make it funny. I don't want to be serious.
Once you got over the shock of the casting... Blake Griffin being led around by Ed O'Neill, like that was kind of the end of it.
It peaked in episode one.
It did. It absolutely peaked. No, that's not true. It peaked the first day with episodes one
true,
and two.
True.
It was two
can't
episodes
take one without the other.
Yeah, it was two episodes. That was the peak, and then again, turns out racism isn't funny, and the show got like a little more serious, and it got tough. Still. Doc coming home and yelling at his white wife for reasons known to absolutely no one while he's wearing his stupid Doc Rivers warm-up jacket, which is just like, this is out of...
That was absolutely
This is absolutely
ridiculous.
Out of control.
The moral of the story for me, though, is I love Brandon Ayuk as a player. I've just given arguments as to why you hesitate, you know, like breaking the bank or doing anything like that. I think he's he's a top 10 wide receiver. Top seven, even,
and that's
he's fun. He's a he's. I want him around. Like I want him to stay.
And this is why the information that's being relayed by the insiders is not our insiders, NFL insiders. Yeah. Well, I'm sure Kyle and Nick and Chris and those guys have it as well. But if the dollar figure that Dion Rossini had out there is accurate, it's the 49ers looking at Brandon Ayuk saying we believe you're a top 10, 8, 7 wide receiver. And more importantly, we're going to pay you like it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're holding out for Justin Jefferson money, you're not getting that.
That's not coming. And that's reportedly they haven't negotiated since I think May or something.
And that's
like that.
so that's where, you know, Diana Rossini's a great reporter. She had that information for a reason. Part of me wondered, did Brandon Ayuk's agent see that tweet from Diana Rossini and go, that's not what they told us in May. And so that's like, where are we
to that point though? That's been reported. Mike Silver reported that like a month and a half ago,
the 26, 27, 28.
And it was after Ayuk had that thing where he said, they don't want me. And then it somehow got to Mike Silver that no, we're willing to give him $26 million a year. I think Brandon Ayuk should sign the contract for a multitude of reasons that we just laid out.
I'm also, from a player perspective, I look at this like, okay, 26 and 28 doesn't seem like a big deal. Mm. Okay, get me to 28 then.
And I understand that. If the money ain't real, make me look good.
That's right. Give me 50 in the last year of my deal to really spice this thing.
If the money ain't real, just make it look good, man.
I'll tell you what though, if CeeDee Lamb gets his deal before, it's gonna draw this whole thing out even more.
So that's the other like problem with this. It's not just Jamar, it's CeeDee Lamb also.
I don't think CeeDee gets 35, I think he gets 30, 32.
I think so. So no one tops Justin Jefferson, right?
No.
Not even Jamar.
No. Justin Jefferson is like that.
So that's the tricky part. Those two are competing for number two, and whoever's not number two is going to wind up being number three, and then that's going to bump Brandon Ayuk further down.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, maybe I'm not those three, but I'm not Waddle. Amon-Ra St. Brown, like those, and again, we might as well just keep going. We're 2 minutes past here. We're at the point where it's like those, you know, you use this team as a, you use this negotiation tactic as a way to lower the money. I would use it as, yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown, those guys aren't winning. We win. I need you to tell me with your look at me and tell me I'm not valuable to you winning.
You are. And that's why we're paying you as such.
Yeah, but you got to pay me more than those guys that lose.
Amon-Ra St. Brown don't lose no more.
And he don't.
Waddle ain't losing.
Yeah, but not because of him. That's what I say. I don't believe that's true. I think Waddle's man. But
Waddle not playing losing. A role here. all those guys you mentioned, they winning. All of them winning.
They was in the Super Bowl last year?
No.
Oh, they've been to the Super Bowl twice?
No.
How many championship games they've been to?
Hey, whoa.
One? Oh, sorry.
Relax.
Sorry.
No, look, hey, Brandon, we're not disputing how valuable you are and what we've achieved. But I know you don't care, but we have like 52 other people that we have to pay for, and we've got to make this work.
Well,
we're trying to give you something fair and comparable to all of that.
While it makes me nauseous to flip roles here, I'd use that same argument against them. There's a reason they can make that much and not play in NFC championship games or AFC championship games.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they don't have Nick Bosa.
Right.
And they don't have George Kittles and Trent Williams. They don't have a slew of Hall of Famers on their squad like we do. And I mean, I don't know. The other important thing is to know the personality, right? The personality of a player. If it stings Brandon Ayuk that they've lost the Super Bowl twice, you have to use that.
Yeah.
Use the Doug Christie line. Doug Christie says, every single time I see him, got unfinished business.
Yeah. And look,
from 20 years ago, he still holds on to that. We got unfinished business.
But that's
his personality.
I'd play, and that's the other thing, right? That's the other thing. I keep going back to this interview because it was actually really good. And he said some things that alarmed me, right? I think the OGs, I can't remember anybody's name, Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor was kind of like they were trying to put him on game a little bit. Like they kind of saw how he was talking and they were like, I get it, but don't forget this. Like this is maybe the grass ain't greener, or maybe like understand that the reason why you're able to ask for this type of money is because of the situation you're in. Like, don't forget, like they're trying to put him on game a little bit. And then Fred asked a great question. He said, what do you want out of your career or anything else like that? And Brandon gave like a real nondescript answer. It wasn't exactly, I want to make the most money I can, but it wasn't, I want to be the greatest wide receiver ever. Right? Like, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like, I want to be looked at as like the greatest to do.
Yeah, all wide receivers know that's unattainable.
Right. Or he wasn't like, I want to win Super Bowls or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It was along the lines of, like, I want my respect or something like that. Like, I want to be respect. Like, right? Like, I'll put it to you like this.
Brother,
I can't remember exactly what he said, but it didn't leave me saying like, oh, this is the guy.
No. You know what I feel like that is? That's a talking point that people think like motive, like that's going to show everyone what I'm about. No, bro, either play to be the greatest or play for money. Respect gets you neither.
Right. So that's what I meant earlier on when I said, if that's what you're about, stand on business. Say, I want to make the most money possible. And I can understand that and I can respect it. But don't be like, man, I just.
But that's where I'm lost. That's not the same thing. If he's saying I'm playing for respect, that's not money.
No, but that's what I'm saying. He playing for money. He don't want to say it. That's my point. Yeah. See, he don't want to stand on business. He don't, because he knows how that's gonna sound.
That's dumb.
He knows how it's gonna be. Like,
and you would have been better off saying I'm playing for money.
Exactly.
This is a job than saying I'm playing for respect.
That's my whole point.
Respect ain't gonna buy you a house and ain't gonna get your kids through college.
I can respect that. I don't agree with it, maybe, but I can understand that. If you about the money and you want to make as much money as possible, say it. Like, don't hide behind it. Come out and be like, y'all, I'm trying to get paid.
Mm.
But he said something to the effect of like, you know, I just want to be respected as such or whatever the case may be. And that was like a little, combined with the rest of the interview,
mm-hmm.
that was a little alarming, because I would have wanted somebody to say, I want to be the best. That's what I play for. I play for it to be the best. And when you talk about like using it, the Super Bowl loss against them, he did mention like how he was like really emotional about it afterwards. But like, I don't know how much that would affect him. And here's the other thing. I play a little dirty pool. I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to lie to you. I play a little dirty pool to get what I want in this situation if I was the 49ers. Like, Brandon Ayuk, you and your representative have said the Patriots are willing to give you $30 million. They're willing to give you the contract that you're looking for. Okay. Okay, Brandon. All right. You got a team that's willing to give it to you. Matter of fact, Washington has also reached out and said to you and said, we'll give him the $30 million you're looking for. You got teams out there that Pittsburgh called. They want to give you. There's three teams that want to give you $30 million a year. I'm going to tell you what our asking price was when they called. A first-round pick. We want one of your starters off the offensive line.
Mm.
And you know what they told us?
Mm-hmm.
We can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So they love you, but they don't love you that much, Brandon. They don't love you that much.
Damn, like, KC, the front office guy, really breaks his players
down.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. They don't love you that much. And look.
There's a reason. He does exactly one impression of a front office executive in any league we cover. And who is it?
Well, who is it? I'm
sorry. I'm looking at Jesse. That wasn't a cue for an impression. I'm asking Jesse who it is.
Jerry Jones.
Thank you. All right. There's a reason that he identifies so closely with Jerry Jones.
Every time it ends, they just don't want you, pal.
Well, look. I mean, I'm just saying, Brandon, they're willing to give you 30, but they don't love you that much, right? And then Brandon and his representative be like, well, that's not fair. Look what you're asking for. I'm sorry, Brandon. You're $30 million, just like you need to do what's best for you. Like when I tell you, hey, we got other guys to pay, and you're like, I ain't trying to hear that. I got to do what's best for me. I can't worry about what I'm asking for from these other teams. Remember, Brandon, I got to do what's best for me in this trade, right? I got to do what's best for me. So don't be upset when I'm asking for what I want out of a trade, but you want me to understand when you're asking what you want out of a contract negotiation, not worrying about other things that I got to do. I can't worry about what you got to do. Is that fair, Brandon?
No.
Is that accurate?
It's fine, John. It's fine. You're right. I'm sorry.
To apologize.
No,
there's nothing
fine.
To apologize.
No, you're right.
No, come
you're
on.
Right.
No, there's nothing to apologize
no,
for.
You're
I
right.
love you, Brandon.
No, thank you.
I love
wow.
you.
I'll see you at the start of camp. By the way, schedule me a doctor's visit because my lower back is bothering
me. Oh,
well, hey. Your back is hurting. I understand that. But you know, when you're not active, you don't get paid. Is that accurate? Is that how the NFL?
I've been trying to figure out what
I hope you voted
million.
In the NFLPA. That's what you guys agreed on, right? Like you have to be active to get paid on the active roster or injury report or something like that, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've been trying to figure out what this $14 million means for 25
Brandon, we don't have to go down this route. $27 million. Get that. We'll give you a nice little signing bonus. Well, doctor,
make it 30 million
on my end.
Give me a $30 million signing bonus.
Well, look, we'll do whatever we have to do. On my end, I need to do a better job of making sure the Schefter report looks like you won in this situation.
Well, no,
I'll work on that.
No, because what I'm curious is who told Schefter to tweet that I'm disgruntled twice.
I don't know. It wasn't. I swear to God, my hands are clean on this.
Okay, HBK John Lynch. You know who that probably was? New England's general manager. It's probably Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's general manager.
Like, who's called? Washington's Josh Harris. It was the new owner. It was someone who was, because he used that word twice.
Yeah.
And that was not by accident.
Not at all.
No other reporter.
He don't do nothing by accident. We learned that with Lamar Jackson.
Facts.
You don't do nothing by accident.
Yeah, that's facts.
You know what it is. So yeah, Brandon, let's just work together. I want you here, BA. I want you here. I want you here for the long term. Come on, let's work it out.
John, shut up. I don't like you. Just have your people put together this contract and get out of my face.
Come on, man. Let's bring it in for a hug.
Get out of my face.
You didn't quit, so I guess
he's going to be laughing too when he says get out of my face.
I think this was a success.
Huh?
So I think this whole negotiation
was a success.
This is the first time
we role played and someone didn't quit.
Yeah, we signed. I don't think we solved anyone,
but no one's gone.
We got love, man. Hey, let's go do this.
We need to get the sticks like Tony and Mike have.
The little
face. When they do role play. Of course, ours would just be like agents in front office executives. They'd be like, who the hell is that? How do we get a big blown up picture of Wes Wilcox in
so
here?
So now we need the Wes. We need the Wes Wilcox.
You throw on the vest when you play the Kings characters.
Oh yeah. We have now we need this area to my right to just be like a big bin of
props.
We need a big bin of props that we can run to whenever we
completely
the D'Lo and Casey studio between ESPN and 102.5. This is
nobody else comes in here.
Just give us a toy bin that we could put all of our stuff in.
Even if we did, I mean, people have stuff in their studios too.
Not a wake-up call studio. Their studio is nasty, man.
Nah, man, those
their
my people.
Studio is
but they
gross.
Be living. Now,
to
their defense.
They living there.
To their defense, it's in the morning. So, like, you know, I'm sure Katie comes in with the blank. Like, they might be tired. It's different than doing a midday show, probably.
Yeah, that there's still some things. One, I've never subscribed to that. Like, I do. No.
He's the wrong person to talk to.
Like, if we're doing a show at 6 a.m. and your ass comes wrapped here in a Snuggie, we're going to have a conversation when the show is over.
Why?
No, because we're
That'd
at
be
work.
Cold as hell.
No.
I guess D'Lo and
People
DC
wear
never
blankets working for the state. What are we talking about?
Oh, you don't. We're performing. Take your blanket off.
But they're not on TV,
are That's they? True. No.
If we're on TV, I don't think I'm on a blanket if we're.
Why clean. Isn't our show on TV? I mean, it is. But why isn't this show on TV?
Oh, we'll talk about that when we talk about James Dolan.
Interesting.
Because I said earlier, he need to sit down and shut up. It's gonna mirror this Brandon Ayuk situation.
So
to be honest with you,
I read the reports about the which we had kind of guessed, but we weren't sure that they'd actually go with the national televised game every night. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you the first thing I thought, and so when I read James Dolan's. Thing.
They just wrote a note to anybody.
I guess. It was like,
to whom it may concern.
I read it like, it was to the NBA, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I read it like, I'm not terribly upset at his way of thinking, because I know as a consumer what my first thought was. We'll get to that. Trista Crick, top of the 2 o'clock hour.
Damn, it's already 1:30.
It really is. I don't know how we did that.
I don't either.
I apologize.
It was supposed to be... Maybe a
I have not forgot what I was going to ask you
no,
about.
I want to hear. Yeah, I want to hear about that.
That's coming up. Steve McCasey on ESPN 1320.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Trista Crick coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Excited to talk to her. Shout out to Brandon Ayuk for bringing us some strong content here on Tuesday, July 16th.
Big ups to him.
Signed a
deal, Brandon. Think that means it's officially football season now?
We're getting there. Yeah, we're getting there. Like training camp is
rookies are reporting
like it's real. Yeah, like
next
it's real.
Week
sure,
where teams? You said rookies.
Yeah, rookies right now, are. Yeah,
I think team. Don't the Niners next week report next week?
Yeah, I think it's the 22nd or 23rd. But yeah,
you guys are worried about Ayuk. My team still hasn't paid Tua. Definitely not worried over here.
I mean, what you think of deals getting done before the season?
Honestly, I don't know. I hope so. They should pay him. Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback money's all messed up, to be honest.
Yeah, the Trevor Lawrence one is kind of wild to me.
Yeah, Tua should get that type of money if Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah.
Dak shouldn't. No, I'm just messing with
you. No, you're right. We can talk about it.
No, Dak should get Trevor Lawrence money.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. My mind instantly went to he's going to be the highest paid guy.
That is insane. We'll talk about football later. I really do want to hear what you say about Monty McNair, though, because I heard.
So can we start with this? Like, are we watching Summer League for anything? I tried to just enjoy the game because they're Kings uniforms and Colby Jones is out there and Mason Jones is out there. It was a blowout, but it was by the half. I was like, all right. I was really happy I stuck around because the Monty McNair interview was in the third. Mm-hmm. But by the fourth, I was done. I was like, all right, there's nothing that's going to happen in the next couple of minutes that is going to have any consequence.
So I talked about this with James and Kyle last week. And I said, you know what? It is actually a first time, it feels like, where Summer League don't really matter for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it don't really matter. Now, there are things I'm watching. I was glad to see Colby Jones play well last night after what he did on Friday or didn't do. Mason Jones continues to play well. I'll tell you somebody that I'm surprisingly interested in.
Okay.
Drew Timmy.
Mm-hmm. Played really, really well last night.
He played really well. I like his skill set. I wasn't a Drew Timmy guy at Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
And even before I started seeing him on this NBA level, like G League, Summer League type level, I wasn't interested in Drew Timmy at all. But I look at, he's really, really, he's a skilled big man. He's a skilled big man. Good passer, good feel for the game. Obviously, not the greatest athlete. I don't know if their measurables are the same, but I said this last week. Maybe, I think this guy's better, but maybe a Kelly Olynyk type player in the league. Kelly Olynyk might be like a little taller, might be, you know, have a little better wingspan.
Yeah.
Maybe at this point shoots the ball a little bit better. But that's what I think of, like a high IQ guy that, and I don't like Kelly Olynyk's game. Like, I don't like watching him play. It's just nasty to me. I don't like watching it. But I don't dispute his effectiveness, his talent, his understanding. It's all there. I wonder if Drew Timmy could be that type of player in the NBA.
I don't hate the comp. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I see why you use Kelly Olynyk. I just struggled with the game last night because it was the first game of Summer League, with the exception of the California Classic, that I watched live.
Mm.
Everything else I had watched on DVR.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we got home a little later than we normally do. So I was kind of joining in progress and was like, well, I'm not going to rewind. I'm just going to watch from here. And then I was just like, okay, this is Colby and Mason. Like, I'm not sure what I'm watching for right now. And then, as I said, the third quarter brought, well, one thing, PJ is fantastic. Yeah. I just love listening to PJ Carlissimo. I don't understand why he doesn't have a bigger role in broadcasting. I know he does a lot of radio work, a ton of radio work. I think he's on the A radio team, but man, yeah. I'd love to have him on TV.
They don't like it when you talk ball.
Well,
yeah, that, and you like there's probably
Tim
more.
Legler gets 10 minutes at 10:30 at night.
Yeah, there's probably a lot more truth to that than you realize.
He could be the A team guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I could not agree more. But he had a really good conversation. The crew, and I can't remember who his play by play was, but they both had a really good conversation with Monty McNair. But Monty said something. And the second he said it, it was like, oh. And so I, all right. And then I was having a text exchange with Jill Adge, and I mentioned that remark to her, and she didn't react. She was like, oh, that's interesting. And the remark was, and if anybody saw this, and again, tell me, bro, chill. He was talking about, like, the team last year, and obviously there was a ton of talk about DeMar DeRozan and just over-the-top praise from P.J. Carlissimo about DeMar DeRozan, the player, and DeMar DeRozan, like, the man, and why he is such a perfect fit for Sacramento. Then they talked about the roster construction, and he talked about the wording that he used was, the beginning is an exact quote. The end, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. Mm-hmm. Keon Ellis stepped in. He said, Keon stepped in for us when guys went down last year and played some big minutes. And I thought the phrasing of that remark was interesting because it didn't. Keon stepped in for us when other guys went out. Doesn't sound to me like, no, Keon is our starting two guard moving forward. Or Keon assumed this role last year that he is never looking back from. Mm-hmm. Not that he has to make these proclamations in the middle of July either. But I, you know, we've talked about like Keon starting, Malik starting. How does this all fit with, DeMar here? What's the starting lineup, which is something you and I haven't dug into a lot since yesterday. But I just thought the wording of he stepped in for us and played big minutes while, you know, our guys were out. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was interesting.
So tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like to you that sounded like, oh, that was cute.
That yeah, kind of. Like, no, thank you. No, that's a good look. Thank you, you know, for what you did. Don't get comfortable there. Like, I don't care how much praise was on King's Twitter or from De'Aaron or, like, from anybody. Like, we're going to build our guys up. That's what we do in this organization. But we're going into this season, this fresh season, with expectations as a team and expectations for an individual player. Now, please don't get me wrong. Keon Ellis is a part of that.
Yeah. Wow.
My overwhelming thought was, I think, one, rewind, prior to the Malik Monk signing, we kind of thought, yeah, Keon's probably starting. Now, the one thing that could throw that in, a monkey wrench in that, is if Malik Monk says, I want to play in Sacramento. This is where I want to be. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I want to start. Mm-hmm. We don't know what was said during the contract negotiations, but we sure as hell know what was said at that press conference that Malik Monk had. Mm-hmm. Or I don't even know if it was the press conference. It might have been a new scrum or something.
Yes, the practice facility or something.
Thank you. He was like, yeah, I want to start. Mm-hmm. Of course I want to start. I'm going to convey that to them. I want to start. I'll play the role that they ask me. Mm-hmm. But I want to start. And now you got the DeMar DeRozan aspect of all of this, and there's plenty of ways to make that work. And you got the Kevin Huerter part of this. And he did mention Kevin by name, which I think is the first time he's done, because he talked about the spacing with the floor spacing with DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just I heard that as I think we we might have put a little too much stock into what Keon Ellis is for the Sacramento Kings moving forward. Mm. Again, not insinuating he's getting DNPs.
Right.
Not insinuating he's not a part of the rotation. Just don't grab the pen and write De'Aaron Fox, Keon Ellis starting backcourt. Mm.
Hmm. Okay, but if it's not Keon Ellis, it's got to be Malik Monk, right? Or are we going back to Herter?
I don't believe it's Herter.
Okay. And that I'm okay with, I think.
I don't think it's Herter.
We'll talk about it.
But I think Herter's maybe I don't know. I have other questions.
He might be a little bit more of a dark horse than people are giving it credit for.
As a starter?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it, but... Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
Trista Crick coming up at the top at the 2 o'clock hour. That'll be fun. I think she's in Vegas. I think she was last night, so I assume she's still there. She might be with Cam and Mace. Who knows?
Hey.
She'd be making moves.
Killer.
CeeLo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Bad idea to take a sip of water right as Jesse says we're back, and you get that I'm about to choke on water moment. No, it's good. That's good.
Just do it on camera,
and
bro.
I'm no help because I have food.
What are you eating?
Raisins.
What else?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
What you got in that bag?
Oh, man.
So you posed a question during the break.
Yeah.
I said, we'll wait until we come on here to talk about. You asked me, are you making too much out of Monty's tone, Monty's choice of
verbiage.
Words. Verbiage, there you go. When talking about Keon Ellis yesterday on the broadcast, I don't know if you're making too much about it. I really don't. I can see how you took that way.
Maybe it's not something, but it's not nothing either.
But as to what though? Because I think everybody can agree Keon Ellis is in the Kings' rotational plans. Right. So I don't think there was nothing to take from that.
For sure.
But a lot of people have debated whether he should be starting. I think there is something to take away from that. Like, it didn't sound like he was going to be the starting two guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then it didn't sound, that doesn't mean he won't be. That doesn't mean they're not up for, you know, it's not up for debate or it's still, it could be the starting two guard opening night.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people have felt like it was like locked in that he should be the starting two guard. That didn't sound like he was locked in as a starting two guard. So I don't think you're making something out of nothing.
Okay.
I think it was a little telling for sure.
We think he's locked into the rotation though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'd be surprised if he was.
916-909-1320.
Sorry, I just... A bunch of cap going on in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House. Stephen Brown talking about I'm 6'5", 265. Stop, bro. It's 5'4", 144. Stop playing.
You've never met Stephen Brown. Stephen Brown could be John Poles.
Can you imagine Stephen Brown just somewhere in the middle? A regular 5'9", 5'10 guy or whatever. It's not even this monster or this little short guy that Kenny talks about.
Stephen Brown's been at every show he's ever done.
Yeah, he's the normal 5'10 fella.
Himself.
5'4", 144, out of UCLA.
Stephen Brown going to show up at a live show and body slam Kenny.
Stephen Brown, man, you still got to pull up on us, man. The Monday Night Football.
He'll never come out.
Come on,
man.
Stephen Brown.
He'll never step outside.
I think he said he works in the Bay Area, though, too.
Works in the Bay Area and lives in Sacramento?
I think
so. Is that right, Stephen Brown?
I think that's how that goes now.
I forget y'all.
Take the day off, man.
Sometimes I think your jobs are just to hang out with us.
I forget
a lot of you are at work, so sincerest apologies. Sincerest apologies and salute. Appreciate you for being with us. Lewis is at work because, well, that's what I heard. He got his own segment here.
Shout out to the Real Brothers of Sacramento.
916-909-1320. Lewis, what's happening, baby?
Hey, guys. My goodness. Hey, you know what? I've got my workmate here with me. Yes, I am at work, and we listen to y'all here. So I'm in a new office now, and so it's amazing. I'm like, wow, we listening to the show, huh? Anyway, hey, what I wanted to get to was just the starting rotation. Here's my thing. To me, I want to play the best players, right? So that's going to be Fox, Monk, DeRozan, Curry, and Sabonis. But here's the thing that I
run that back for me, Lewis. Who was the forward?
The forward is Murray.
Sure sounded like you said Curry. But I'm with you.
I was like, Lewis out here breaking news.
I'm with you. Keegan, we got you.
Curry, no, I don't know no Currys now. Right, except for Steph up the road. But here's the thing, though. This is what I find interesting, right? Currently, our playmakers, it's Sabonis, right? It's the dribble handoff to the shooter across the horn, right? Fox, he's great. He's a scorer, but he's not really the guy who's going to playmake for you. Malik, he's one of the best pick and roll guys in the league, right? So I think they hung up on me.
No, we didn't. No, Louis, you get upset when we interject, so we was just trying to let you cook.
Sorry. Right. No, I'm sorry. Got it. But so to me, Malik, his pick and roll game is outstanding. So I like the fact that with him in the starting rotation, we actually have the flexibility to go through Sabonis or another option. But here's the best kicker of it all. What I love is this. If somebody is hot on the other squad, we bring Ellis in to stop them. Maybe it's the point guard one night. Maybe it's the two. Maybe it's the three. We can put Ellis, that pit bull, on any of those three and be happy. Maybe somebody's not shooting well with the first group. Maybe it's Fox. Maybe it's Malik. Maybe it's DeRozan, right? We can bring Herter in to shore up the shooting. I think we're in a great spot. We're starting three all-stars. DeRozan did make it.
And there's the Jesse fade. So, Jesse.
He got a fade.
Jesse is like our agent, right? There's a lot of talk about contract negotiations today. Jesse's our agent. So, if Lewis is upset, he can't get mad at us. You got to call and yell at Jesse.
We weren't in control of that.
I love bro clip. We gotta cut it a little bit, though.
No, we gotta teach Lewis to cook a little quicker.
Yeah.
We need to start the timer. Next time you call, I'm starting the timer. He has to get more than 2.5 minutes every time.
We let Lewis go so long, he thought we hung up on him.
That's the thing, bro. Like, we let you cook.
But the last time I interjected, he got mad at me. So I just sat here and shut the hell up.
He
was just running through the rotation for us. I ain't even mad at him.
Shout out, Lewis. I understand what Lewis is saying. I understand what he's saying.
I think the idea of, like, and that's probably a great, what is the perfect role for Keon Ellis? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was a point in there while Lewis was talking, and the one, you know, takeaway I had was him talking about Keon is someone's going to get hot. Mm. All right. Mm. Let's see if Keon can quieten that noise down. The one part that I do kind of wonder about is I don't take what like guys like De'Aaron and some of those guys said about I don't take their words lightly when they talked about the influence that Keon had on the way that they played defense. Mm-hmm. I think Keon can have that same influence no matter when he's entering the game. But I don't know that he did. If anyone has a quote, article, video, whatever, please, you know, tag us in it. I don't know that he said, yeah, man, everything was different right from the start of the game. Mm. No, I think when De'Aaron was talking about Keon's influence on the defensive end, I don't think he was talking about just with the starting lineup or just in the first 2 minutes of the game. I think he was talking about Keon's impact over the course of a 48-minute game. Mm. If that's the case, and I'm not misreading that impact can still be felt starting 5 minutes into the first quarter or 6 minutes into the first quarter or however Mike Brown works the rotation with this new squad.
Yeah, man, I think that's fair enough. Jesse was asking a question last week, and it was a really good question. Like, where are you getting the most out of Keon Ellis? Are you getting the most out of him by bringing him off the bench? And I don't know. It's a good question. I thought you could get the same amount from Keon Ellis, whether he started or came off the bench. But Jesse made some compelling arguments as to you maximize him by having him start.
Okay.
I think it's the same thing with Malik coming off the bench, too. Like, Malik may want to start and all that, but I think just coming off the bench, like running the second unit and all that, you get the most impact.
But here's the one thing I'll say to that, Jesse, is we don't know that. It's the only thing we've seen. So we don't know what impact he has on the starting lineup. We don't know what impact Kevin Huerter could have off the bench. We don't know what impact Keon Ellis could have as a regular rotational player off the bench. We only know what we saw. And here's the thing that if I'm Monty, Mike, anyone who's resistant to any sort of change, we went with something. And Mike had a very specific way he wanted to do something. And I don't fault it at all. This team fell short of the playoffs last year. They fell short of the top six. They fell short in the final play-in game to a team that they had already lost to 12 times last year, give or take.
It felt like it.
Okay. So, look, we did the run it back thing. Okay. All right, we got a lot of the same players. Obviously, we made one big acquisition along the way. We fine-tuned the roster a little bit. But we need to make other changes. And go, well, you know, Malik was really effective off the bench. Great. How effective can he be in the starting lineup? Instead of playing yo-yo with Kevin Huerter, it's like, look, Kev, this is what we think is best for you in the current construction of this roster, and it's for you to come off the bench. And maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's the start. But working in this scenario, I don't think we can just go with the idea that, oh, well, this is what works best. No, that's just all we saw. It's not outrageous to ask to see something different when the team falls short in the playoffs or when the team falls short in the postseason to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I was of the belief at the beginning of the week last week that it was time for Monk and Fox to start. Like, it's that time. It's time for the Kentucky connection. Let's get this thing popping. Listen to Jesse and a couple other people, and I understand the value of potentially having Malik come off the bench. And really the thing about it was I wasn't that pressed one way or another because, you know me, I don't want to say I don't care who starts, but my focus turns to who's finishing. And Malik needs to be in that five, even if he's not in the starting five.
Spoken like a guy who started every game of his career.
Hey, look, I ain't gonna lie to you. The one or two times I came off the bench in like a rec league game. Like it wasn't even a rec league game. It wasn't a league. It was like, hey, we're playing this exhibition at this facility. Like, come play with us. And I came off the bench and that was difficult. I said, this sucks. And then but what was even worse was I wasn't in at the end of the game. That was really difficult. So that's maybe why I always think
It's my opinion, just based off personal experience. I think people will publicly, and Malik did it, will tell you, yeah, I'm closing the game, whatever. They all want to start.
Yeah.
It's an acknowledge. I mean, there are exceptions, but it's I'm one of the five best players on this team. I'm the best at my position. Like, that's important, whether it's verbalized or whether people choose to make a fuss about it or not is a different story. But the idea of, oh, it doesn't matter who starts and who finishes. No, I want to do both, because normally it's the starting lineup that closes the game. You only make that argument when you have a situation like Malik Monk, maybe Monta Ginobili. Like there's literally a handful in the league that you can point to. And we're talking consistently. Not one-offs where so-and-so was white hot, we couldn't take him out of the game. Like, okay, yeah, and then the next game he won't be in the last 5 minutes because that's just the nature of the league.
Right.
It's important.
It is.
Who starts is important to these players.
It absolutely is.
And that's why I appreciate Malik Monk for going, yeah, of course I want to start.
I like both stances from him because he says, yes, I want to start for sure. But he looks at it like, if I don't, like, he's okay with it because he knows he's going to finish. Like, it's not a yo-yo situation for him. He's like,
right,
I'm here in the final 5 minutes of the game, and I can digest not starting better because I know I'm going to be there at the end of everything.
And so that's where I wonder if Kevin Huerter is in a better spot if he's not in a yo-yo situation like he was last year, at least like it felt like he was last year, where he has a more defined role. And that role is going to change if someone gets injured. But this is how we're approaching your role this season. And I wonder if he's better in that position.
Okay, I would think he would be. Like,
I think anytime you know what your role is, you're better.
Right, having an understanding and really, to be honest with you, having the time to accept what that role is. Like, I think, yeah, you're going to... You have more time to adjust to it and prepare for it and be ready for it. So, yeah, I would think he'd be a better player once he was able to accept what his role was at that time.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, bedroom? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.